You are listening to the Anfield Humidor podcast. My name is Andrew. I'm joined by the host, Brian. Brian, take it away.
Ooh, what's up, Andrew? How you doing, buddy?
What's up, man?
All right. Jurgen Klopp remains winless at Old Trafford as the Reds' manager. The Reds dropped their lead in the standings after a 1-1 draw in Old Trafford against a surprisingly active Manchester United defense.
They're still crap.
All thanks to a late goal from Adam Lallana. And a great performances from Joel Matip and Genie. Watching that game was like walking into an Applebee's at 11:30 at night. You're miserable, but you're there. But at least they're serving cold beer. We have a great episode planned for you today, guys. We got our usual poems, we got our top three, and we got our Liverpool game chat. Stay tuned.
Mane, running down the wing. Mane, hear the carpites sing. Mane, we're all going to Madrid. Sadio Mane.
Did you have a good week?
I did. I kind of killed myself, man. I worked like 100 hours.
International break, no good, right?
We had no Liverpool game last week.
It was kind of good that we did our podcast late.
Yeah,
because
it
broke up the international break.
Yeah, it was a long break.
But hey,
it's good to be back.
Hey, let's get into real fake news.
Real fake news. Liverpool headlines brought to you by two dumb Americans on the other side of the globe.
Some of them are real.
Some of them are fake.
You forgot the intro.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I
was
love
trying
you,
to
bro.
Do it. All right. So, real fake news.
Who's going first?
I am.
You are?
Yeah.
Who wrote these?
I did.
Oh, boy. Here we go. I'm excited.
Liverpool FC's Peter Moore is among the finalists for the 2019 FC Business CEO of the Year Award at the Football Business Awards.
Ooh, interesting.
Moore has been nominated as Premier League CEO of the Year and joins Mark Ashton, Gary Sweet, Carolyn Radford, and Alan Burrows on the short list for the overall accolade. Each individual will receive their award at a ceremony on Thursday, November 28th at City Central. Before the overall winner is announced on the night. Brian, take it away.
Jordan Henderson was arrested outside of the streets of Old Trafford after Sunday's game against Manchester United. The 29-year-old midfielder was found with a bag of ripped-out eyeballs that were taken from the referees of the match. He was quoted saying, "I don't understand what the big deal is. They clearly weren't using them anyway." Him and Harvey Elliott have arranged a court date in which each of them will be fined £4 for their equally heinous actions.
How do you say this dude's full name? Ole Gunnar?
Ole Gunnar
well, Solskjaer.
Isn't he English?
I know.
No,
but
no, he's Norwegian.
All right. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer believes Manchester United deserved to beat Liverpool and dismissed claims on his side's goal should have been disallowed by stating, "We're not playing basketball." United scored a controversial opener after 36 minutes through Marcus Rashford, despite Divock appearing to have been fouled by Victor Lindelof. During the build-up. Referee Martin Atkinson's decision to allow the goal was upheld after a VAR check, much to the bemusement of Jurgen Klopp. Solskjaer, though, had no doubts when asked if he thought it was a foul. "No chance," said the United boss. "We're not playing basketball. Yes, he touched him, but it's not a clear and obvious error." Brian? I know. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Interesting. It's loaded, baby. Loaded! Okay. All right, here we go. After multiple discussions and team meetings, Liverpool have decided to relocate their training facility to Hong Kong. After the recent NBA debacle with China that surged the media this past few weeks, FIFA administrators are applauding the club's desire to relocate. FIFA president Gianni Infantino was quoted saying, "It's about time we get a real sport into the discussion, one without quote-unquote athletes trying to be politicians and express idiotic views."
Do you know anything about that?
I don't, but I get the humor.
We'll talk about that too.
Okay,
we'll talk about that too.
I don't know anything about the NBA.
Yeah, it's because it's not a really good sport.
Nah.
It's not fun to watch.
All I care about is Liverpool.
I'd rather watch a whole wall of paint dry than watch an entire NBA game.
Really?
Like watch a wall of paint dry. It's so
Who
boring.
Who was the scouser, Chris, we met at Carragher's?
Yeah.
What was the NBA team he followed?
I have no idea.
He said he followed the Miami Dolphins football.
Okay.
Didn't he say he watched basketball?
No, I don't know.
He's a Dolphins fan, though. He said, "I love American football, me." That's what they speak in
me?
England. Me. They say me. All right. That's the end.
American football's the worst.
Sorry, Chris. I butchered your accent. My bad. All right. Where are we? All right. Let's do our top three worst three teaser.
All right.
We're going to explain that,
okay? Top three.
All right. So you go first. What's your top three?
So your top three is, it's worst three.
Okay.
It's the worst three common criticisms about football, about soccer.
Mm.
So the worst three common criticisms and about the sport and its fan base.
Okay.
So whatever.
All right. I got you.
You got
and
there.
While I'm telling you my top three for you, give us some Laphroaig, just a little bit.
Oh, okay. We're going to pour some whiskey.
Yeah, pour some whiskey. I'm going to light my cigar here. I'm lighting my Cortez cigar, based out of Eatontown, New Jersey, I believe. Well, they're not based out of there.
Just because you bought it in Eatontown doesn't mean it's based out of Eatontown.
Oh, boy. I miss doing this podcast, man. Eatontown, a week is too long. Too long. All right, so my top three for you. And this is going to be a learning experience for me and the listeners, okay? Because you're such a good cook.
You're a jerk.
Chef Andrew! So my top three for you is, what are the top three, when it comes to cooking overall, what are the top three ingredients or spices or whatever are the most important thing in cooking? You know, so they could, it could be a spice. It could be
An ingredient.
What else could it be? Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. The top three things that us novices should be looking into when it comes to cooking.
Okay.
All right. I'm excited to listen to this.
I got
to
think about it. I got to think about it. A little bit. Not. I got two.
I got two off the top of the bat.
I got two. Off the top of the bat.
Off the top of my head.
Top of the bat.
Which looks like a bat. Oh, boy. All right. Let's stop this train wreck of an intro.
And let's talk about the game.
All right. So Liverpool, right? Not at their best. Okay. Man United celebrated that like they just won the Champions League. And when I say Man United, I mean to the Twitter Man United. I don't mean necessarily the team or Solskjaer. But, ugh, I can't even look at Twitter. I can't even look at it. So, Liverpool not at their best. It was a draw at Old Trafford. What do you think
about that? You drew at home.
United drew at home. Yeah.
What do I think about it?
It was against a Liverpool not at their best.
Yeah, but they need everything they can get right now.
Yeah.
They're what? 11th place? They're in 11th place,
talking
I think.
To the mic.
They're in 11th place?
Right.
They're taking anything they can in stride. They look good. Yeah. They looked good against Liverpool. I don't know if Liverpool just looks so bad. But they were swarming that ball. They were all over us. Yeah. Quick to the ball, quick to defend. I mean, that goal, we'll talk about the goal in a minute, but they look good. They're going to take it in stride. They're going to take this draw, and they're going to run with it. Like, we took out the European champions at home.
and in a sense, we're taking this draw and running with it. That's not the worst thing that could have happened.
Are you happy with a draw?
No.
Are you happy with a draw going into the second half of that game?
Well, obviously.
After the first half, you're happy with a draw.
Yep. I mean, to be quite honest, going into the second half, no. I still was ready to win that game because of how Liverpool are, and I don't know. I was ready to win, but obviously completely happy with the draw.
Yeah.
Completely happy.
Yeah. Especially once you see the 80th minute like creep around.
Yeah.
Then you're like, all right.
Yeah.
We gotta.
Are you happy with the draw?
I was. I remember I was taught, we were watching the game together.
Yeah.
And when I leaned over to you and I was like, you don't want to draw here. You go out scoring. Go out hard. Post locker room. Post halftime, brand new Liverpool, let's go.
Yeah.
And then the 70th minute rolled around. I'm like, all right, bro, I think I'm happy with a draw here. let's just get a draw. I don't want to go down three.
And how good was it that we got the draw? I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
Huge. It still speaks to the Liverpool that we've been dealing with this whole season. You know.
Well, what was the one difference between the Liverpool we've been dealing with this season and this Liverpool today? The one big difference.
They weren't at their best.
Who are we missing?
Oh, we're missing Salah. All right, let's want to talk about Mo Salah.
Yeah. So I mean, that's the next point on our bullet put list here.
Yeah. Bullet put?
bullet point.
Okay.
Bullet point list.
Yeah, so we were missing Mohamed. He's got a slight injury. Hopefully he's not out for long. And it showed. It showed in a few ways. It showed with the outlet ball and hold up play. Now, Divock, he's good at hold up play for sure. But Salah is he's a special beast. He's a special Egyptian beast, okay? And, you know, his creativity, we could have used it today.
Yeah.
We were lacking a lot of creativity, not just in the front of the pitch, but also in the back. We were having trouble getting rid of that ball. And yeah, Salah played a huge point. He makes a big difference in those games.
A lot of time spent, like nine games? I think this is the ninth game that we played this year.
Yes.
We spend a lot of time outside their 18, like trying to press in, trying to find holes in. And Mo and Firmino and Henderson and Roberts, they find ways in.
Yes.
Like today, it just wasn't. We had no opportunities.
No.
There was nothing in there. And it's because that lack of Salah. Like, I don't know a ton about, so maybe you could speak to this.
Uh-huh.
I don't know a ton about defensive calls, like defensive plays on when to double up someone, when to shift defenders and to double team a certain attacker. I don't know that, but I feel like that might be the result of a lot of opening opportunities when Salah's on the field. They have two people come out to bring, and then guess who that frees up? Now you have Trent over on the wing. Trent would be covered if there wasn't Salah on the field like he was all day today.
Yeah, it's a great point for what he does around the whole pitch. You're right. So there would have been two guys on him, potentially, and not just two guys. The whole team is worried about Salah. Just like they're worried about Mane. Sorry, I messed up. Mane. Who knows what his name is? We mess up a lot of names.
Mane, running down the wing. Mane, hear the cop fight sing. Mane, we're all going to Madrid.
What were you saying?
I don't know. You screwed me up.
You're talking about Mane.
Yeah.
Salah all over the field.
So Mane, they have to do the same thing with Mane. They have to double cover him. They have to. I mean, he's such a threat, Mane. Such a threat. And, all right. Diva. It's a good whiskey, dude.
I know,
it's
horrible. Not after Woodford.
It's horrible.
But Divock didn't have the same.
No.
It wasn't the same presence.
No.
It wasn't the same presence.
No, and I'm not saying he had a bad game. He did okay, for sure. He did okay. But no. No. And even Salah, when he's not at his best, I mean, he's just so creative. He would have just screwed up a lot of their defensive opportunities, you know, with his quick passes. And that's what was missing. Like you said, it was the quick passes and the creativity. There was none of it. And whether you chalk that up to Salah but not being on the field, I also chalk it up to Liverpool as a whole not having their greatest game.
Yeah.
And guess what? They didn't have their greatest game. And what happened?
We drew away.
We drew away at United. Come on. That's a win.
Yeah.
Right?
People are talking down United this season real bad.
They are.
They still have... Rashford's incredible.
Yeah.
Rashford is incredible.
He is. Rashford's incredible. And let's just... I know that was our last point, but let's talk about that real fast. Rashford and his goal. Okay, now, we're going to get into whether that should have been allowed or not. We'll get into that later. But right now, let's talk about... Now, I hate to praise United, but the run Rashford made against Matip, it was a thing of beauty. It was. He faked the near post run, went far post. Mane shut off a little bit. You know, I mean, that's a hard position to be in as a defender. You have a counterattack coming. That was a quick counterattack. You know, maybe a lot of Liverpool players thought that that was going to be a foul against Divock. And now they're United's on the counter. Liverpool have to defend a counter, one of the hardest things to do in soccer. And Mane's running back, jogging back. He sees Rashford. He's in front of him. He's in front of Rashford for that goal.
Yeah.
And he sees him. He's like, okay, Rashford, you see the look. He sees Rashford.
Matip. Matip.
What did I say?
Mane, but it's okay.
Oh, okay.
Matip. Well, yeah, I got you.
Yeah, yeah. So Matip sees Rashford making that near post run, sees him, makes the run with him. But Rashford faked that run and went backwards. I mean, it was...
And then he like...
And then the finish.
Yeah.
It was...
in-air volley.
Yeah.
One touch.
It was really good.
Yeah, it was a good goal.
Hate to praise him, but really good.
Yeah.
Really good. Hard to defend. Really hard. It was a quick counter. Hard to defend. All right. So we got the lack of Salah, right?
Yeah.
It was obviously an issue. Obviously. And we hope he comes back soon. Come on, Salah. Get back, baby. Come on, man. So this is a quote from Klopp I'm going to read, and you tell me your thoughts on it. So Klopp said, and this is the post-match interview, and I thought this was brilliant. He said, pretty much everything went against us today, and we still didn't lose. And in Klopp's accent, pretty much everything went against us today. And in these moments, we still didn't lose.
In these situations,
we still didn't lose. So that's great.
You see, like, I don't know if you looked at Twitter, if you looked at any news articles written about this game, but when I was browsing for real news articles, I actually came across some kind of interesting ones.
Did you?
And it's just, the refs let a little bit of drama and some hits go unpunished. They did. They knew it was going to be a dirty game.
For sure.
And they let a couple hits go, but it felt like every one of those hits that they let go was against Liverpool.
Yeah.
That's why he's saying that.
Yeah.
They got beat up. And I know that Fabinho knocked out... what was his name? James? What was the kid that Fabinho took out? And then Virgil took him out. The dude was like broken at the end of the game.
I forget his name, but what a beating he took.
He took a whacking.
Oh my goodness.
And I know that they let a lot of that go.
I'm sorry. That Fabinho hit on him Brutal.
Broke his ribs.
I love Fabinho. It looked,
yeah, me too.
Oh. And he does that. He does that usual thing he does where he kind of stands over him.
It looks like, out.
Okay.
He looks down. Oh. He's a beast, bro.
He is. Okay,
he's
continue, a beast. Continue.
But the refs let some of that stuff go, and it felt like the whole first half, it was just, where's the penalty? You see him laughing. You see Henderson laughing.
Yeah.
Like Henderson goes up to the ref and just talks to him and then smiles as he walks away. It sucked.
You know, like you said, so in the beginning of that game, the ref was letting things go. I'm sorry, he wasn't letting things go. In the very beginning, like the first 10 or 15 minutes, he was calling some fouls that were potentially light. And fine. If you're going to call the game that way, you call the game that way. And then he shut off, and you're right. It just didn't go in Liverpool's direction. I'm sure he didn't do that on purpose. I mean, that's something where playing at home helps. The referees are scared to give United calls against United. That's part of playing at home. But yeah, it wasn't going our way. And like Klopp said, draw at United.
Point.
Honestly, it's of all the places we're going to drop points. Okay, we drop points there against. We didn't have a good game. We could have not had a good game against Leicester. We could have not had a good game, you know, against any team, and we decided to not have our greatest performance against United at Old Trafford. And that happens sometimes, and we drew. So in a sense, it's a win in my mind. I know I'm looking at the bright side of things because I'm a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, I know. No, I know. You know what I'm saying? I get you. I get it's a draw. I know it's a win. Yeah. But like, what stinks is that the Twitter and the comments and the people that are praising this Man United, like, just because they're in 11th place doesn't mean they're, like, we make fun of them a lot. They are kind of rubbish.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean they're not a good squad. Like, look at Wolverhampton and what they did against Man City. Like, low-level squads and squads that are newly promoted or in 11th place or 7th place or that it can't, you burn your mic. Mm-hmm. It can't, you can't discredit those. Those are some of the toughest games.
For sure.
So I just, you know, I don't want to say, like, I don't want to hear, oh, you drew Man United. Like, you guys suck. Some European champions. Yeah. Shut up.
Boomer just texted me.
What'd he say?
He said, I forget. Something about we won. We basically won.
He's a Man United fan?
He is.
Ugh, that's why I don't like that guy.
And his brother Drew is a
Liverpool. I'm kidding. I like you, Boomer.
His brother Drew is a Liverpool fan, so they fight all the time. It's fun. It's a fun little rivalry. All right, so here's another thing I wanted to get into. Now, I think we can say Liverpool had a poor performance. Liverpool had a poor performance, and they did. I'm not saying poor overall. They just weren't at their greatest around the whole field. Everyone, just not at their greatest. Wijnaldum, we mentioned, was tearing the field apart in the beginning. So some players had some, you know, good things going on. But they weren't at their greatest. So in that situation, all right, when Manchester United, they did their part. They knew they were going to have to defend that game. They treated it like we're going to sit back on defense and counterattack. That's how they treated the game. And they did a great job shutting our fullbacks down, just like Leicester have done. You know, teams, I mean, that's what they're looking at. They know we get our goals from Trent and Rabo. Like, they're a huge part, the amount of assists they both got. So they're going to spend a lot of their, pre-match training on how do we stop that. My question for you, Andrew, and you might not have an answer to this, but just try your best. When teams do that, when they are going to shut down our fullbacks, what do we do to prevent that? Or not necessarily prevent that, but what do we do maybe to go in a different area? What do you think? Do you have any thoughts?
I do. I do have one thought. One thought that I would love to have seen that game. Okay. I don't know if you remember. Towards the end of last season and in the very beginning of this season.
Right.
You saw Virgil and I think Gomez start. Like, Matip came back later, right? So Matip start the season?
Matip started.
Gomez
was the injured one.
So you saw our backfield sending our strikers up. Mm-hmm. And Virgil, I remember you mentioning it to me when you're like, I don't know if Klopp's telling him to do this, but Virgil is just doing these long balls up. Mm-hmm. And if our team is defended by the elimination of our fullbacks, if they are defending Robertson and Trent so well that they know the majority of our goals are from their assists, mm-hmm. if they're defending that, that means that they're always pressing. Why not hold the fullbacks back a little bit? Hold them back.
Uh-huh.
Send them.
Send who? Send who?
Send the fullbacks.
Oh.
Send, like, hold them back. Don't have them go with the ball.
Okay.
Send our fullbacks and then have long balls to the fullbacks.
So you're saying
treat them as strikers.
Okay, so you're saying take Trent tell him run, or you know, he'll make eye contact with Virgil, and he's just going to dart down the field and give him a long ball.
Yes.
Okay.
Give him a long ball,
all right,
which allows your strikers to free up the midfield, which allows your strikers to come up through the middle. Robertson would get the ball multiple times in this game. We watched it, and I loved it. He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's amazing. He would get the ball, and he would. It was him and Wijnaldum doing a lot of like side work, back and forth. And they were both fighting, and then they both go up together. And now your fullback's already up there. Your strikers are well covered in the middle, and they already know that the crosses are coming from the outside.
Yeah.
There's no surprise elevation.
All right, that's a very good point.
You know?
That's a very good point, is that today Liverpool played like they were Barcelona, in a sense that, I'm not saying they were playing like Barca, but they had the possession stats of Barca. Okay? They had 66% possession, whatever the stat was at the end. And that's just not their game.
Yeah.
It's not their game. Their game is really press hard, win the ball, and go right at the goal. And that's what Salah does. That's what Mane does. And that wasn't happening today a lot because of United's defense, things like that. But I like that point. So you're saying give long balls to the fullbacks.
Yeah.
So that's obviously one option, obviously. So if you give a long ball to a fullback, that fullback is now running up the field past all the midfielders, past the strikers, and now you have that empty space behind Trent, which, let's say it was a poor ball by Virgil. Let's say he's kicking, I think Virgil is right-footed. Let's say he's kicking with his right foot, gives it to Trent, and he hits it too low, and it's cut off in the middle, which happens all the time with long balls. Trent is now out of position. So, yes, you need then the midfielders to
check. You have Fabinho, Virgil,
you need backup.
And
Yeah, and Hendo. Hendo's
and
a big
Henderson,
backup. Yep,
and Milner.
They're big backups.
And
for sure.
Keita just got healthy.
The other option is to forget that. Let the fullbacks do what they do. Send long balls to Mane, Salah. You know, send a long on-the-ground pass to Firmino, which happened a few times today, and that's awesome.
We were commenting on that. Like, that's,
yes.
That's what we needed.
But that's hard to do because...
But we do it all the time.
Yes. but United were trying to prevent that long cross on the long ball on the ground. They were trying to prevent that. And, you know, they did a good job. So, so speaking of all that, you know, those are some other options, and I know we don't know anything compared to what Klopp knows. Klopp knows what to do when his fullbacks are being defended, you know? So he made some changes, Klopp, at that game, right? We had Hendo in, we had Wijnaldum in, and we had
Divock
in. Those three subs happened. Two subs happened. I believe Hendo came out for Leilana. And then Wijnaldum came out for Keita. But what happened before that? Before that was, I'm sorry, Divock came out for Leilana? I forget. I forget where the subs were, but the first two subs, Leilana came on first.
Yep.
And then...
Ox.
Oxlade-Chamberlain.
I couldn't remember. I was thinking of the numbers.
So Leilana and then Ox. After those two subs, Keita came on a little bit later. But after those two subs, things changed. They did. Obviously, Leilana got his goal, which we'll talk about in a second. But those things things changed on the field. And then Keita came on, and it was different. It was different. So you have to say that they were pretty good subs for Klopp. I don't know the exact mechanics. So let's say Hendo comes off, Leilana comes on. Leilana is more of a, you know, twinkle toes. All right? So he dances around the ball. He's got good footwork. Twinkle toes. I've been called twinkle toes before.
I think Ox came on for Henderson.
Did he?
Ox came on first, and I think Leilana came on for Divock.
Yeah, I forget.
I'm pretty sure.
It happened how many hours ago?
Ox came on for Divock. Leilana came on for Henderson.
I don't know about that.
Uh-huh. I think so.
We had internet out here, which
and
we
Naby
have since
came
lost.
On for Genie.
Yeah. Naby came on for Genie.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever. Whatever. Ox, whoever he came on for. I mean, did Ox come on for Wijnaldum? I don't remember.
No.
Ox came on for Hendo. And that's a very... Right? We can't remember.
Ox came on for Divock. Ox came on for
Divock. Why does anyone,
listen here?
I mean, this is ridiculous.
I'm telling you. Ox came on for Divock. Leilana came on for Hendo.
Ox came on for Divock? That makes no sense.
Leilana came on for Divock.
That makes more sense.
Ox came on for Hendo.
Okay.
Leilana came on first. Oh my goodness. It doesn't matter. After the subs.
It does matter. Okay. All right.
After the subs.
Yeah. So
what happened?
After the subs.
Tell them what happened.
After the subs, things changed. You got Henderson, who I love Henderson so much. Okay, I love him. Stop laughing.
I'm just laughing.
I know. We're horrible. I love Henderson so much. He's such a captain. But his criticisms are, is he doesn't play the ball forward enough. He plays it back all the time. Of late, he's been very creative and very forward-thinking.
With Mo.
Yes, with Mo, who is not there. This game, he didn't do that as much. He was a little more pass the ball back. I'm not saying he didn't contribute, but Klopp said, all right, we're losing. We need to get a point out of this, or at least, you know, at least a point, maybe two, 3 points. So he takes Hendo off, puts whoever on, Oxlade-Chamberlain, whoever, someone more, a little more attacking-minded, which they both are. And then he takes whoever off to put Leilani or Ox on, whatever happens. So we got Ox and Leilani on, and then Keita comes on. It made a big difference.
Yeah.
It made a huge difference. I don't know the exact mechanics of it all.
Yeah, I mean, you have fresh legs on offense. You have a little more,
Some chances. It gave United something to deal with.
And then after those subs, did you see how they kind of gave Trent a little space?
Yes.
You started seeing, they were busy. They were busy in the midfield, and that freed up Trent a little bit on the outside. It freed him up a little bit. So where he had, I don't know, 7 feet to make one of those crosses instead of just bouncing it off a defender.
So the only criticisms you could have of Klopp is, should he have done this sooner? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he knew what it took. He knew what it took to get to walk away with it. And like he said, they did not lose.
Yeah, and it's a shame Liverpool didn't score in the end again because they were on it. They were
Ox,
on it.
Ox had that shot.
Ox had two shots. And no, at the
Ox
end,
had one and Trent had one.
The last 30 minutes of that game, Liverpool were attacking creatively, quick, 1-2s, getting in there, taking shots, doing what they do. So it's a shame it didn't happen earlier. I'm not saying it could have.
Yeah.
It's a shame it didn't happen earlier and we didn't have more time on that.
You had Ox's shot. You had Trent's little floater towards the corner.
Ox had two shots and Trent's floater. Yeah, and Trent's floater. It was great. And I think Ox can come away with that from that game happy.
Yeah.
Keita didn't have much involvement, but at least he got some playing time.
Yeah,
and I love Keita. Yeah, I love Keita.
His first Premier League appearance this
year. And hey, freaking Leilani comes on. What did we say when Leilani came on?
I saw Leilani stretching. I go,
and we're
ugh.
Like, oh!
I go,
don't put him on!
I'm like, ugh. Like, no, not right now.
Yeah.
And then he comes on and he scores, and we just lost it. You were like, we were just saying, don't put him on.
Wasn't the hardest of finishes, but he was there.
It was his first Premier League goal this season.
First Premier League goal, I think, in a lot of games.
Yeah.
A lot of games. And that's going to boost his confidence. Good for this side. It's a shame. It's one of those situations where, had we scored again, we would have been saying the same thing that we've said over the last 3 or 4 podcasts, where we say, we didn't play our best, but we won. And sadly, we can't say that. Sadly, we drew. But again, I'm going to say it again. It was against United at Old Trafford.
We're up 6 points.
Our Old Trafford record is not great. Drew. Okay. It's a game. It's one of the games where I don't want to say expect to drop points, but if we're going to drop points, it's going to be there. It's going to be City at home.
Chelsea, City.
I think more so United at home and City at home
when we beat Chelsea, it was just like that was one of those games.
Yeah.
It was like that lucky last-minute goal, and we're just like, if you're going to lose points, it's going to be Chelsea, Man U,
absolutely.
City.
All right, so let's get into the meat of this. We're going to talk about VAR again because everyone's upset about it once again. Solskjaer didn't think it was a foul, obviously.
Okay. We're not playing basketball here,
Solskjaer. He's freaking Ole. Oh, we're not playing basketball.
Yeah. Old Gunner.
Old Gunnar.
Ole Gunnar.
Ole, 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 ole. He sucks. He sucks. Solskjaer. He sucks. Okay. So let's talk about VAR. We'll talk about Klopp's post-match thoughts on VAR. So here we got a foul against Divock, which then results in a goal. It ended up being a goal. VAR looked at it, said it wasn't a foul, or said whatever the heck they say in that friggin' room. It wasn't a foul, whatever. And the goal stands. Do you think it was a foul?
Yes.
Okay, stop. I'm only kidding. Okay, Andrew thinks it's a foul. I think looking at it in slow motion, looking at it in full speed, foul. I think if you have a room of 10 professional refs, 9 out of 10 say, okay, 8 out of 10. 8 and a half. Cut one of them in half. 8 out of... eight
bottom
and
half,
half
or top half?
8 and a half out of 10. The top half agrees with us. The bottom useless half that can produce children. Whatever.
I'm looking at you like, what the heck are you talking about?
So 8.5 out of 10 say it's a foul. Okay?
Yeah.
Yet, VAR says, once again, we don't want to overrule Atkinson's thoughts. Atkinson was right there when the foul happened.
In front of him.
In front of him.
Why are they talking about the fact that it was far away from the goal?
That's a great point.
What the heck?
100%.
What the heck?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares where the foul happened? It's a matter of at what timestamp the foul happened. And was that the moment of counterattack change? Yes! Obviously!
It's just so it's so frustrating. And you saw Klopp's frustration. You saw him laughing at the sidelines. He just it's the situations. He was just going off, man.
Henderson and Klopp were just smiling.
Did you see Mane trying to get in? What's his name? Atkinson's?
Atkinson. The ref, yeah.
Could you see Mane trying to get in his face? Mane is in his face. D-Box getting into his face. And there's poor little Henderson just like, stop. Let me talk to him. Just talk to him. And they're like, are you kidding me? You got to be. Oh, it was so bad.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
And
that was the moment of counterattack.
It was.
And go ahead. Because it's stupid.
But that's not necessarily the issue here. I think in the VAR room, yes, they knew that was the moment of counterattack. They included that in the VAR review, for sure. But they didn't give it.
All VAR has done is handballs and offsides.
Yeah.
Handballs and offsides.
And the previous...
The lack of a penalty call has not... I haven't seen. Where?
I watched the Watford game. Watford first, was it Tottenham?
Tottenham.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Harry Kane.
The calls were ridiculous. Absolutely. VAR was friggin' useless in that game. Useless. So in this game, and even Klopp said it, he said the same thing he said before. It was a foul. What the heck is the subcontext? What the heck is the point of this VAR? What the heck? What's the point?
Yeah.
It was a foul.
Where I
even if it's some people are unsure, take a vote in the VAR room. Take a vote. Is it a foul? Is it not a foul? Who cares about Atkinson? Who cares about him? We've talked about this so much. It changed. Now let's talk about the VAR decision of Mane's handball, which, in my opinion, great.
Yeah,
it was a handball. It touched his hand. It potentially screwed up. What's his name? The new signing.
Matip.
No.
For
United. Oh, my goodness. Harry Maguire.
Did you see him crying in the goal?
No.
He was like crying in the goal afterwards. He's just like, are you okay?
Yeah. All right. And it
was a handball.
It was a handball.
And they disallowed the goal.
They disallowed the goal. And you know what? I'm fine with that.
All good.
Yeah.
All good.
I'm fine with that. Yeah. 100%. That previous one, this is a complete joke, and I'm very sick of talking about this. I'm very sick of it.
The same thing happened. You know, now, the same thing, the last time I saw this happen was Liverpool against, I believe it was Leicester.
Yeah.
Didn't they score first half to go in tied, and they called it off because there was a foul at midfield? There was a foul at midfield.
That was Chelsea.
Was it Chelsea?
You're saying it went against, like, they called no goal against Chelsea.
It was Chelsea.
That was Aspilicueta. Yeah. He's not even Italian. I don't even know what he is.
They called it off.
Yeah.
And it ruined their momentum.
Yeah.
They called the goal off.
Yes.
That's the only time I've ever seen it. That worked.
But I asked you when we were watching this game. Okay? I asked you, Mane scored this goal. It was disallowed towards the end of the first half. Would you rather that whole thing happen? Or all of that didn't happen at all, and we just went into the second half 1-0 down. Would you rather have Mane score that goal and get disallowed, or would you rather none of that happened at all?
I don't know.
What do you think's better for the team?
I don't know. Maybe none of it happened at all.
You think so?
Yeah.
Talking to the mic.
Maybe none of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because...
So you're going back on your original thought.
I originally thought that... You know, yes, because it means there's something that's working.
Yeah.
It's working.
Yeah.
You know, it was a handball, but you were in the right spot. You were in the cross. But then it's like, Maybe not.
Yeah,
maybe
the, I know.
Maybe the first 22 minutes of the second half are different if you have, if you're going into the second half as a Liverpool offense with one shot on goal.
Yeah.
Two shots on goal.
A disallowed goal is a major blow.
Yeah.
It's a major, major blow. Because it's so, in the Premier League, in any professional soccer situation, it is so hard to score. It's so hard to get into a scoring position, let alone get that ball past a top-class goalkeeper. Like I said, a little bit of soccer I've played, sometimes I've been in positions and I've got a shot on target. This is going in. But they had a Division I keeper on the field and he saved it. And I'm like, you son of a gun. That was my goal. You stole my goal. And so to do everything right, to do everything right and score and then it gets disallowed, it is a major blow to the whole team.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would love to ask Henderson that question or Klopp. That's a great question to ask. When we get one of them on our show, we're going to ask them that.
2020, it's coming, guys. Stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Who do you want?
Who would I want on this show?
Who do you want?
That's a top three right there.
That's a good top three.
Number one on this show, who would I want right here in between us talking to us?
Yeah.
You'd have to be somebody funny. I don't know if it'd be Klopp.
Lovren.
Trent.
Trent's not that funny. He's too young.
No, Trent. He would be the one.
You know who I want? You know who I want?
Who?
Milner.
Fabinho.
Nah, not Fabinho. I want Milner. Milner is such a dry humor. Milner's funny. He says he's boring, but he's actually funny. You know? He's a comedian. Okay. All right. Tied. Whatever. How many points are we ahead?
Six.
Is that anything to sneeze about?
Yes.
Do I like to say things to sneeze about?
Yes.
Yes.
off the top of the bat.
All right. So we have a midweek game against Genghis Khan. I forget their whole name. We have a midweek game. So come on. Let's win that. We have to win that.
Yeah. Yeah. Champions League's
looking pretty important.
Yeah. We just took Salzburg. Okay. We took Salzburg. We lost to Napoli.
Yeah. But we took Salzburg.
Yeah.
Harry.
Yeah. 4-3 last minute goal.
How many last minute goals
have we scored this season?
I don't know, but it seems to be a staple of Liverpool.
A ton right now, right?
Yeah.
Like we win games in the 75th minute plus.
Yeah, yeah. That Salzburg game somewhat reminds me of the game we went to at Anfield, Crystal Palace.
No, 4-2.
I think, right? 4-2, I believe. 4-3, 4-2, whatever it was. I don't know. It reminds me of that.
Yeah.
Brings back good memories.
Yeah, just a lot of goals.
Yeah. All right, so that's the end of that game. We got Genk coming up. Awesome. Let's get into our poems.
Poems.
Let's do it.
Poetry.
Poetry in motion. Poetry in motion. Tra-la-la-la-la. We're the best football teams in the world. Yes, we are.
I like when we both mess it up.
Me too.
Who's reading first? You go first.
No, you go first.
All right. I'll go first.
I'm taking charge.
Here's my poem. You go first.
Hugo. That's a first name Hugo, last name first. Hugo first.
All right. Go ahead. Here we go. Watching a match at the bar is always so nice. With the ice cold craft beers and the mixed drinks on ice.
On ice.
We all chant when you score and we cry when you lose. Kara's, 11th Street, wherever you choose. As I sit here watching, munching on some fries, Brian's right next to me wondering if Mo is circumcised.
Your turn. Okay. Let's just unwrap that a little bit. So you're saying I'm wondering if he's circumcised because I'm always concerned.
You always just talk about their body parts. Their leg hair, their pube hair, their hair, their armpit hair.
Their hair?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, their hair. Their head
hair. Like their head hair.
Yeah. Oh, that was funny. That was funny. Good job.
Thanks, bro.
All right. Let me find my poem here. My poem is about the Champions League semifinal against Barcelona at Anfield. Okay. It was a lovely game to watch.
Ugh.
Lovely game to watch. And here we go. It's a limerick, just to get your palates ready. 3-0, and what an atmosphere. Trent placed the corner while it was still unclear. Couldn't see heads, but saw Div's dreads. Turned to the referee and said, "Hold my beer." It's a little wordy. Let me try it again.
Go down. Bring it down. Okay. Bring it down.
3-0, and what an atmosphere. Trent placed the corner while it was still unclear. Couldn't see heads, but saw Div's dreads. Turned to the referee and said, "Hold my beer."
I like that. My favorite thing about that goal.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about the Trent goal.
Yeah.
Is when I came over to your house a couple days after that. And you go, look at my kids. Watch. And you start, we go outside with the soccer ball and they put the ball down.
Yeah.
And then your one kid like spazzes out really quick and then kicks the ball really far.
Yeah,
he goes,
that's a
Trent. It's just like Trent.
Yes.
He just spins around
in a
circle.
Yes, I taught them to run, to walk away from the ball and then hit it real fast without anyone seeing.
That was my favorite thing about that.
Oh, that was
good
stuff. Oh, yeah. Great poems, as usual. All right, let's get into our top three, worst three. Good job. We're 41 minutes in.
I think we have an average.
Beautiful. We do have an average.
We have an average.
Yeah, we're getting this down, son.
Average. 7.5.
All right. All right. So my top three for you is, where is it? Did you write it down?
You already know it.
Do I? Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. So my top three for you is the top three spices, ingredients, in when it comes to cooking, the top three things that are most important that we should all worry about. Or the top three ingredients, the top three spices in any dishes. What do you think?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right, go.
Starting with your third.
The third most important ingredient. You know it's incredibly difficult to answer this question because of the amounts of cuisines.
I know that.
Like,
but I know two you have solid. So that third one.
Yeah, but I mean, they're also, it depends on what you qualify as. Is water an ingredient?
No.
Water's not an ingredient.
No. Water's an essential life.
It's an essential oil. We put it in a diffuser. Have you tried? Oh, I haven't gotten sick in a month. I bought this $700 starter kit. You want to buy some?
You know how many diffusers I have in my house right now? So many diffusers. And what do they look like?
Little bowls.
No, what do they look like?
Little diffusers?
Nipples. They're nipples with smoke coming out. What else are they?
This one's lavender, it's eucalyptus, it'll help with your cough. Oh.
They do smell good, though.
They're the worst in the world. They're so expensive.
They are expensive.
Smell
good, though.
Three top essential oils you need to live a healthy life. No. Three top ingredients that you need to understand how to use in order to be a good cook. Is that what we're saying?
They don't have to be ingredients. The three things we should worry about as civilians.
Get water. Yeah, so
really?
Number three is water. I'm going to give you an example. Because you keep saying that.
Okay.
So, because the other two are really important. But water, so if you cook any dish, right, it needs sauce. So every single thing that you do in a dish is kind of it's kind of finished with a sauce. Like, the sauce of the dish is what adds the flavor. It adds the consistency, like the mouth. It changes everything.
Okay.
The sauce. When you're cooking a meat or deglazing a pan or reducing stock down, you're manipulating water. You're evaporating water to increase the consistency of foods. Whether a sauce breaks, it's because there's too much fat and not enough water. So
what do you mean a sauce breaks?
Like, so if a sauce turns into oil, if you're making like a cheese sauce or something and it separates, starts looking like cottage cheese, your water content and your fat contents are wrong.
If you're making a salad
dressing and it gets too thin, there's too much liquid water, not enough fat. If you're making anything, like
water in salad dressing?
Vinegar is water.
All right. All right. I got you. So I'm saying I'm confused.
Yeah, no, it's
fine. I got you. Because salad dressing is vinegar, oil, and spices.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but so that's a semi-permanent emulsion.
Yeah.
So you need to have the right ratio of liquid,
All right. So let's change this from water to liquid.
Okay.
But I know. For the layman.
For the layman, they probably logged off when we started. We tried to butcher that intro. They probably logged off by then. We don't have any laymans left.
All right, so that's number three, liquid.
Yeah, liquid,
water.
I'm going to say water is the third most important ingredient because you got to know how to use it. Pastas, there's so much. There's rices, there's grains. Water's important.
Water and rice is obviously important.
You got to know how to use
that. Yeah, yeah.
Number two is flour.
What?
Yeah.
Bullcrap.
No.
Okay.
No, because when you think... you're saying cooking?
Bull crap coming from a painter.
I'm saying when you say cooking, you think of me like making a dish of like sautéed vegetables with
when
pasta.
When I say cooking, I think of you on the line yelling at everybody. Yeah. That's what I think.
But so like the biggest food consumed in the entire world is bread.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so bread, again, bread and water. Like they, you know, like I'm trying to keep it simple and be honest. Like you need to know how to manipulate flours and doughs and breads. That's incredibly important.
So this is all very important. Starches. This is all very important for the British baking show.
100. Oh, huge. Get ready. Get set. Bake.
Get ready. Get set. Get your water and flour.
Get
ready.
Your water and flour. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah, but it's important. Real. So pastries, breads, like we've been eating bread since creation. So,
and it's in a lot more than bread, flour.
100% sauces, pastas.
It thickens sauces with a roux.
Yep. You're seeing, you know stuff. But for the layman.
A roux.
For the layman.
Yeah.
And so you got to know, understand how to manipulate it, when to add it into a recipe, how to handle a dough when you need to add more flour. So I'm not saying like you need to learn everything about the flour itself, just the right way to use it.
The ratios.
And the right ratios. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. And then number one, coming in hot.
Can I say it?
You already know it.
I mean, I'm between two now because you threw me for a loop with flour.
I want to know what the third is.
My top two are salt and acidity.
Salt and acid, yeah. But acid, you only think acid because you love Mexican food so much. That's really it. Like, that's why you think lemon juice is so important. Lemon juice really isn't in a lot of base dishes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's in... All right. Yeah. So, it's you're just because you like pico de gallo and guacamole.
Pico de gallo. That's Italian. That's Italian. I like my Italian pico de gallo.
There is no pico de gallo in Italy.
I know.
But no, it's salt. Salt. It's got to be salt. You got to...
Salt's big.
Yeah, dishes are gross if you don't add enough salt. And it's not like people, they misconstrued salt with like unhealthy. It's not unhealthy. Your body needs sodium.
And what salt would you recommend?
Kosher salt.
Yeah. That's a big thing amongst the laymans. Like I went to vocational school for cooking. I know that's nothing. I know that.
No, it's something.
I'm just saying trade schools are good. I learned about kosher salt. Kosher salt is tastier and so much easier to manipulate into a dish than iodized. What is it? Iodized salt?
Yeah.
Table salt?
Table
salt is impossible to work with.
It's disgusting.
It tastes disgusting.
It's medicine.
And if you add one tablespoon versus two, you're done for. Whereas kosher salt, you got some leeway.
Yeah.
You got some leeway.
Yeah, so, but the right amount of salt's important. It alters certain, like, dishes and stuff when it comes to salt content. Like, so if you boil vegetables, like, if you boil vegetables, I'm trying to light my cigar, too. Okay. Salted water versus unsalted water and alkaline versus it. So, it's just important to understand that. And then flavor enhancement is everything. If you can't bring flavor out of stuff, your cooking's gross. Like, you know how many times, like, I come over to people's houses and they ask me, like, I naturally find my way into the kitchen.
Yeah.
Just to, like, house parties and stuff like that.
Yep.
I naturally find my way into the kitchen. That's where I want to help out. I can help. I can hang out, drink wine. Talk with whoever's cooking, because
what do you do when you come over for a?
I laugh at your chicken at your
a party
parm.
In my house.
I laugh at your chicken parm.
You laugh at my chicken parm, and we drink whiskey
in the kitchen.
In the kitchen.
But every time I go over to the average home cook's house and I try to make food for him, I have to use the little throwaway Walmart iodized salt.
Ugh.
Just get kosher salt, guys. It's an important ingredient.
Yeah, it's cheap.
Cheap. Dirt cheap.
Take kosher salt. Now this is coming from an idiot. Take chicken breast. Skinless, boneless, right? Chicken breast. Slice it to a regular size, right? not too thick, not too thin. Throw kosher salt, fresh ground pepper, and ground garlic or dry garlic on it. Both sides. Cook it. Tasty. Tasty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you added iodized salt to that, ugh.
So salt doesn't add flavor. It brings flavor. It's an enhancer.
Yeah, I know.
It brings flavor out.
I didn't know that.
Brings flavor out of the food.
Okay.
So salt doesn't taste like salt.
Yeah.
It just brings the stuff out. So you add salt in everything. You should put salt in every single thing you cook.
You should. And that's that's the main problem with people's dishes. Someone will make a nice dish and they just didn't add salt.
Attention, parents.
They're afraid.
Parents, your meatloaf sucks.
Yeah.
Your barbecue chicken is gross.
Yes.
Add a little salt.
Add a little salt. Done. Done. Or do it like I do and add too much salt. And we all get high blood pressure.
So now that we have no more listeners.
Okay.
Top three.
Top three. Tell me what it is.
The worst three common criticisms about football and their fans. So the things that when somebody's talking about football or I'm sorry, soccer, because I'm American and you guys all hate us. When you're talking about soccer and someone goes, ugh, I don't watch that. Why? What's the worst three things that they could say?
Ugh. Ugh. They're just horrible. I can't even handle them. All right, number three is the offside rule. I don't know if you've ever heard this. Probably not. Seriously, almost everyone I talk to, they say, in America, mind you, they got to get rid of offsides. They got to get rid of it. Because they want more goals, which we'll get into in a second. Got to get rid of offsides because that will open up the field. And I look at those people and say, okay, I'm done talking to you.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. You know nothing about the sport. And you're just, listen, I know nothing of football and baseball and basketball. Therefore, I don't comment on it. I don't.
Yeah.
When the first annoying thing comes to my head, I shut it down because I know these football fans have heard this before. They've heard it.
But you still watch it. Like, I remember the Super Bowl last year. You were watching it and you were caring about it. You were asking questions.
Yes.
And you're like, well, why is that? And then you saw it again. You're like, oh, that's because of that.
Yes.
You were learning.
I'm not saying the annoying things I think about the sport because that's number one, freaking rude. It's rude. When you go over to someone's house and you're watching a sport you don't care about, don't say what annoys you about the sport. That's very rude and annoying to the people who care about it. Okay, so the offside rule, people don't mention it all the time, but I get it from a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of it. If offside promotes good passing and interesting, intricate play, which is why we watch the sport. Okay, let me calm down.
Calm it down, bring it down.
Oh boy, I'm so mad I forget my other two. All right, my other two.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's number two. And I'm so sick of this. Soccer's boring. Everything's boring that you don't care about. Everything! Downton Abbey! NFL! If you don't care about the sport or the show or whatever, it's boring.
It's boring.
Wonderful. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear it. Yeah, it's boring to you. I really enjoy it. It's fun for me. Shut your fat, ugly, American white mouth. Mic drop.
Boom. Why's it got to be white mouth?
I don't know. It probably comes from a lot of black mouths too, but you know, what am I going to say? You can't say the word black anymore apparently without sounding racist. And I'm going to stop talking now. Okay.
Does the amount of goals go into why it's boring?
No. That's like, my number one.
Is that it?
No, that's my number
like,
one.
You were like, the offsides. Oh, so you were teasing that in your number three?
Yeah,
like the offsides. Are, okay.
So offsides, I'm just saying these are the common things I hear.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that the question?
Yeah,
That's the question.
The common, yeah, you're right. You're
common things I hear coming from non-soccer fans, you know, whatever.
The worst criticisms.
So offside, they complain about offside. I've heard it. I went up to a guy when I lived in my old apartment. And he saw me juggling. All he saw me do was juggling a soccer ball. And he looked at me and said, why don't you play a real sport? And then we started talking. He was just joking. I could appreciate a joke. But the first thing he brought up was, you got to get rid of offside. Coming from a guy, that's like me saying, got to get rid of the first down. Got to get rid of it. Got to get rid of the foul shots in basketball. Got to get rid of foul shots. Got to get rid of fighting in hockey. I know nothing about these sports. Sorry, I spit on you.
It's okay. You're mad.
I'm mad. Why? Now, he was an idiot. All right? But there's a lot of idiots out there. So, offside and second? What did I say the second time? Second one?
Boring.
Boring. People say it's boring. Oh, my goodness. Do you understand when you say the sport is boring, you're sitting there watching it. We're sitting there watching it. Anyone listening to this podcast is obviously a soccer fan, football fan. And a good pass, a good run of play, we don't look at that as boring. Obviously, we look at it as extremely exciting.
How many times do you watch a game and you say good ball?
Yes.
Good ball.
Good ball.
Good touch.
Good defense.
Good
touch.
Good
positioning. Good run that never got the ball. All these things that people don't realize.
They don't know.
And I know, looking at all the American sports, I know nothing about them.
But you voice yourselves and you say it's boring.
Yeah.
And you just, the second you say it's boring, it's like, I lose all respect for you.
That's where Cameron, I love Cam because he don't do none of that crap. Cam can come in at a sport he don't care about, and he won't insult anybody. He'll ask questions. What's that about? What's this about? That's how you should be. You should be more like Cameron.
Open-minded. Be like Cameron. Cameron. Hashtag be like Cam.
Cameron's a family member of ours. Okay. My number one is, obviously, people say soccer, lack of goals scored. First thing I say to those idiots is, do you watch hockey? That's the number one thing I say. If they watch hockey, I'll walk around and I'll turn around and walk away because they're idiots. Sometimes hockey has a slightly higher goal ratio, right? Slightly higher?
Yeah, maybe like.
And how exciting is hockey?
It's great.
It's one of the most exciting sports. You know, I'm not into many American sports, but hockey is one I can get into because it's a lot like soccer. But people say not enough goals. And this goes along with all the other points I had. It's not all about the goals. You can have a 0-0 draw in a Champions League, you know, a group stage, and it is the most exciting game you've ever watched. Obviously, goals are exciting. Obviously. You know what I mean? A 2-0 win at a baseball game. That could also be exciting, right?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what you like in a sport.
Exactly. It depends.
But
it depends. It depends on how into the sport you are.
When somebody says there's no goals, it's just like, do you know how difficult it is? And that goes with the offsides.
It does.
And that goes with the with the fact that you think it's boring.
Yeah.
Because it's boring because do you know how hard it is to score a goal against a professional football club in Europe?
And
you know how hard that is?
And where, all right, maybe a game ends 1-1, just like today. Game ended 1-1. What about all the chances? Were they not exciting?
Yeah.
Were those near misses not exciting? Was the, you know what I mean? Even if it was a complete shank, the build-up play, was it not exciting? How many times did we stand up today in the build-up play? We stood up. Is it going to be a goal? They were only at the half. But we're like, oh my goodness. We're on the edge of our seats because we care about the game.
Yeah.
Done. Please, people, stop it. Stop.
Yeah, give it a chance. I have it on. So I own a sub shop in Jersey, and I have two TVs in my store. So I'll have one on one Premier League game and one on like a Bundesliga game.
Yeah.
And
unless it's Liverpool and then TVs.
Both TVs are on Liverpool.
Yeah.
But I come in and customers go, I'm so surprised that you're showing soccer. Like, why do you have soccer on your TVs? It's postseason baseball season. Why is there soccer on your TVs? I go, because it's the best sport in the world. There's 1,700 games played a day. Just because you're blinded to it in America.
I'm sorry, how many games?
1,700. There's so many soccer games.
Oh, you mean amongst every league,
all
every division.
Leagues, yeah, all the world. Yeah, there's 1,400 to 1,700 games. Yes.
Really?
Absolutely. Wow. There are so many leagues and subdivision leagues.
I don't doubt you. Don't look it
up. I'm not
looking
it up.
Don't look it up.
I want to see how many games were today. Just for example.
It's going to be like 30.
1,192 professional soccer games were played today.
Wow.
Shall I read the leagues?
Go ahead. Read them.
Argentina, England, France, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, Spain, Africa, Albania, Andorra, Angola.
These are just countries.
Argentina. Inside those countries, there's little leagues.
Oh, yeah,
African
yeah,
Nations
yeah.
Championship.
I see.
The first division in Albania, Primera Division in Andorra.
The first division in Albania.
Saying.
How about the second? How about the third?
I know. There's thousands of games, and you're going to sit here in your tiny cubicle that in the Apple store and tell me that this sport is boring?
Like, and when you're sitting in your tiny cubicle at the Apple store, what do you look like? You have glasses.
Roast them.
You have glasses.
Roast them.
You have a full beard. You have a fade haircut. You have tattoos everywhere, just like Andrew.
Just like me.
And you come up, hey, what's the problem with your computer, man? What's the problem, man? We're smoking weed in the back, man.
Listen to Czech Republic. Can I just read this and we'll end the show? Because we're kind of lagging it out now.
That's all right.
Czech Republic, they have one Liga, Division 2, CFL Group A, CFL Group B, MSFL, Division A, B, C, D, E, F, Preskabar Prabar, Sturdeski KP, Jihoski KP, Plezenski KP, Usteki KP.
What
I'm not
country?
Done. Czech Republic. Liberia KP, Kravlovhadeki KP. This goes all the way down to First League Women. There is so many games.
To compare.
There are so many games.
To compare.
Sorry.
how many football, American football games went on today? A lot, because it was
right now,
because
exactly.
NFL was going on.
12.
Is there a second division?
Yes, three. There's three other football divisions.
Okay.
The X League in Japan, two games.
Okay.
Canada U Sports, that's, and then the Brazil BFA.
Yeah.
So there were 21 professional American football games today, not counting college, but college.
Okay, college, you know, is big, so times it by two. Right?
No college football today.
All right.
So, either way, soccer is not boring. It's just the American idea of soccer is so tainted.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I asked you this question.
I don't like any I don't know. Now we're knocking on American football, but it's a sport. People like it. Wonderful. Great. Stop knocking on us. Come on. I appreciate all sports. Some I don't like, some I like more than others. Whatever.
I think we have a new theme on this podcast.
What?
Defend American football fans.
American soccer fans. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
You said defend American football fans, which can be very confusing.
American football fans. Not American football fans.
Yeah.
With our barbecues and Miller Lights.
Yeah. And I understand if you're 55 years old, you've watched football, baseball your whole life, and you see all these hipster doofuses coming up watching soccer, and that upsets you. It shouldn't. Times change, bro. That's what happens.
Drink a craft beer and enjoy a Premier League game.
Enjoy the sport you like. Enjoy it. Whatever. I'm not knocking you. Don't knock me. You know, I walk into Roscoe's Bagel Shop around here, or I walk into, where are I going to today? Sorrentino's. I got a Liverpool jersey on. No one cares. Not one. Six times. Nothing. And that's okay. Fine. You know what I mean? Come on, people. Don't knock me. I won't knock you. That's my story. I don't want any.
With that being said, you just listened to the Anfield Humidor podcast. If there's anybody left listening at this point, boy. But we love you guys. We appreciate
you. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to us. If you like the podcast, drop us a review, hit us with a like and a subscribe, and share the content.
And we won't ask you to subscribe every time, but
we will.
Whatever.
We will.
Whatever.
Leave a review, write an email, theanfieldhumidor@gmail.com. Enjoy your night, guys.
Enjoy, everybody.